Exodus chapter 31, very quickly. Get that fast, friend. Exodus 31, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11 as we think about your part in His work. Your part in His, in the Lord's work. God has got a place for you in His work. If He didn't, you wouldn't be saved. If He didn't, if you were saved, you'd be in heaven. He has got a plan for you to be an integral part to the work of Mountain City Baptist Church and to build the kingdom of God, or you would not be here. Every person in here, God's got a specific work for you to do for Him. And I hope tonight that if nothing else, this thought will cause every person in this room to take a step back and say, Lord, what do You have for me to do? Because I promise you the answer is not nothing. God didn't save us to be spectators. God saved all of us to serve, to work. See, now we can work with a purpose. See, lost people, when they work in the world, it has no purpose because they're dead in their trespasses and sins. But for children of God, when you get saved, everything you do then has a purpose, which is to bring glory to Him and to point others to Him. God's got a place for you in His work. And I hope tonight causes every person under the sound of my voice to take a step back and say, what is that for me? Let's read verses 1 through 11 very quickly. The Bible says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahasamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. The tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table, and his furniture, and the pure candlestick, with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all his furniture, and the laver, and his foot, and the clothes of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil, and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Very quickly, your part in His work. Number one, well, I want to look at His work. I want to look at His, the Lord's, work. And I won't read it again for the sake of time. But in this instance, we see His work that's being referenced here. In verses 6 through 11, it is Bezalel and Aholiab and all those the Bible talks about that are wise-hearted, that God enables to do the work. And what they're doing is they're building the tabernacle. They're building a place for God to dwell on planet Earth. Now, we know in the New Testament, where does God dwell? Right here. But we see here, they're building a place for God to dwell, and I want to relate that to God's work here at Mountain City Baptist Church. Now, I'm not necessarily referring to our building project, because we could build the nicest building in the world. But if we've not built up the spiritual work of God by His grace at Mountain City Baptist Church, then that building means nothing. That building means absolutely nothing. If all we do is we build that, but we don't work in our hearts and strive to build a work here that God can do something great through, then we're wasting our time with that project. We need to tear it down, and we need to just continue with what we've got. But I believe God wants to use that, use us, to continue to grow His kingdom and to do great things in our community. I believe He does. And I believe He wants to use every single individual in this room to do it. No, not everybody in this room can stand behind the pulpit. So for some reason in the family of God, some people think that's the only people God uses is preachers and pastors. If that's the only people God used and nobody else was ever used by God, then no work would get done. I mean, the work of God needs people that are willing to clean the toilets behind the scenes and nobody see it, willing to fix the light bulb, willing to hold the door and shake the hands, willing to serve the food, willing to do the little things, to do your part, whatever it is, to get the work done. And when we do what God tells us to do, the way He tells us to do it, He blesses it. And lives are changed. And that's what I want for this church. I believe that's what you want for this church. God is doing a work here. The work is to build a place. They were building a physical tabernacle, but I want the Lord to build a spiritual work here that He can use to do great things. What do I want God to do here? I want God to build a place here filled with celebration. What I mean by that is, what was the tabernacle for? One of the many aspects was to serve God, but to worship God. I want this to be a place where God is worshipped. Now, I'm not saying I want this to be a place where people are emotionally manipulated by the sound of music or the lights or all those things. I'm not saying that. I want this to be a place where God can show up whether we play music or not. I want this to be a place where when the truth of the Word of God goes into our mind, finds its way to our hearts, it produces worship here and in our lives. I want this to be a place that if any child of God, Mount City Baptist Church members or not, steps on the premises, they experience the presence of the Lord and they just worship Him. What's Mountain City Baptist Church's theme verse? That in all things He might have the preeminence. You make Him preeminent. You lift Him up. The Bible says, what's it say? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto Me. I want this to be a place where He is magnified, where there is celebration, but also a place where there is communion. I mean, obviously where we do the Lord's Supper, but that's not what I'm referring to there. Where we commune with God. Where we meet with Him. Not where we come to church and meet with each other, but where God shows up and meets with us. We sang that song talking about in the garden and talking about His sweet voice. There is nothing sweeter that I've ever heard than the voice of God. Nothing. And I'm not saying I've heard audible voices. Nothing sweeter than the voice of God when you read His Word and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart from this book. There's nothing sweeter than that. I want this to be a place where God's people can come and where God can speak to us and meet with us, commune with us, encourage us. I want this to be a place where that can happen, a place of celebration, a place of communion, a place of commissioning. I want this to be a place where once we commune with Him and we worship Him, it drives us to go out and fulfill the commission that He has given us. I praise the Lord, I'm a part of a church that isn't me, my four, and no more. Let's have fun things. And let's do the work here at the church, but let's do nothing to share the good news of the gospel. I've seen those, and they look like they're having a blast, but they're not doing what they're commanded to do. And if we're not doing what we're commanded to do, what's that called? Sin. Now, I want to do fun things that we enjoy each other and we fellowship. We need that. But if that's all we do, we've missed it. See, but when we worship Him and we commune with Him, our natural byproduct will be to be obedient to His great commission. I want this to be a place where the hearts of our people, which it is, I believe, are burdened to reach the lost in our community, to reach the lost in our world. Hey, this is a little church, but we support, I think, a bunch of missionaries. And I praise the Lord for that. That's a testament to you. I've only been here 2-3 years. That's a testament to the people of Mount City Baptist Church that you want people to know Jesus. And I want it to grow. What do we talk about on Sunday morning? Always abounding. I think the Lord wants to do more. It's going to take all of us to do it. Build a place of celebration, communion, commissioning, charging. Who here has ever come to church? You don't have to raise your hand. And you were just physically, emotionally, spiritually shot. I'll be honest with you, I've stood behind the pulpit here like that before. But then before I left, I was charged, encouraged, fired up to continue on. I want this to be a place where people can come and God can show up And we can leave here better than we came. Leave here maybe physically destroyed, but spiritually on fire. Like I always say, having had the meat to eat that we know not of. I want this to be a place where any believer, specifically those of Mountain City Baptist Church, but any child of God that walks in the room, I want this to be a place where they walk in, and when they leave, they're going to leave on fire and ready to serve and love God. God wants to do that here. But it's going to take each and every one of us finding our place, whatever that is, big or small, and do it. So celebration, communion, commissioning, charging, and convicting. Now, I'm not saying that when somebody comes in the room where we give them that stank eye, make them feel real uncomfortable, and they never come back. I've seen that, and it's sad. No, I want this to be a place where somebody who's lived a low-down, dirty, rotten life walks in, and they get loved on. But when the presence of God is here, I'm not going to have to say a word. God will go straight to the heart and convict that heart of that sin. Be that a lost soul that needs Jesus, or a believer who has something in their life they need to deal with. I want this to be a place where if somebody steps foot on this property, their sin in their life that's undealt with, that God will drive them to deal with it. Because, I mean, that's what we should all want for every believer, so we can get close to Him, so we can serve Him. If there's sin in our life that's undealt with, we will not be effective. I want this to be a place where if there's any sin in our life, we deal with it immediately. In a place where sin, and where when sin is dealt with, we don't cast stones, but we love on them, and encourage them, and help them along. A place of convicting. Not casting stones, but conviction by the Holy Spirit working in the heart. So when they see the love of God in you, they hear the truth of God from His Word, He speaks to their heart and breaks that heart. And by His grace drives them to get rid of that sin. Or drives them out of here. That's two things that will happen. They'll either get right or they won't be. I want it to be a place where a sinner cannot stay on the premises without either dealing with it or having to leave because God's presence is so strong. And I believe that's what you want too. I want everybody that steps on this property to be changed. But we've got to find our part and do it. So celebration, communion, commissioning, charging, convicting. But we see here, it's building a place, but we see it's building, the building instructions are particular, and I'm not going to read all that again, verses 6 through 11. One thing, if there's nothing else that we learn in the Old Testament, especially when we read about the layout of the tabernacle or anytime anything's being built, God gets real specific. And that's when times in my Bible reading career, I get the Bible app out, turn Alexander Scorby to about 1.75 speed reading, and my man just flies. He reads very quickly, Brother Paul. I'm proud of him. Because sometimes we almost get bored with that. But we don't need to miss the point. God has got a specific way He wants things done. If we want these things to happen, we've got to find out what that is and do it that way. Not the way we want it to be done. Not the way the world says it needs to be done. Because there are churches in the world, maybe even in our area, that say the way we do it's wrong. They can say that all they want. We're going to do what this book says and not care what the world thinks. I don't mean that in an arrogant way. What Peter say, we do better to obey God rather than man, right? Let's find what God wants us to do and do it that way. And I'm not saying churches that do it differently than us are wrong. But what every church needs to do is get in the Bible and say, are we worshiping right? Are we doing it right? Why do a lot of churches that would do the church good for people say, why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Does it line up with the Bible? If it does, praise God. If it don't, get rid of it. The building instructions are particular. That's His work. We see to His will, and I got to pick it up very quickly. His will, number one, first we see is salvation. God's got a great plan for every life, but it begins with salvation of a soul. God's got a great plan. We're going to see in a moment that He had before they were born, but it cannot be fulfilled until they get saved. Salvation is the beginning. But then his will is not, like I said earlier, spectating, but serving. Serving. That's why so many people, when they come to churches, and they're bored out of their brains, because they're coming to be a spectator, not one that gets in on the work. A child of God will not enjoy church or service if they're not getting down and dirty, getting in the work. But then when you do, you enjoy it. So service. Now, very quickly, as we continue on, we see that this service is personal. Verse number 2, "See, I have called by name Bezalel." You think God was like, "Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, Bezalel." No. It was determined beforehand. Don't get scared with that word, because God has a plan. It begins with salvation, but I believe we can say no. I do believe that. But God had a plan before Bezalel was ever born, that He was going to use him to do the things to construct the tabernacle. I believe that the same thing can be said here. See, I have called by name Steve Shelley. I've called by name Glenn Holman, Mary DeConte, Josh Vaught. I have called by name every name in the room. He's called you by name. He's got a specific purpose for you. Now, the grand scheme is to glorify Him and to point others to Him, but He's got a specific thing for you to do. Have you ever stepped back and asked God, "What is that? What is the specific thing you have for me to do?" I'm not saying go to church. You know we're supposed to do that. Read your Bible. You know you're supposed to do that. What is the specific thing you want me to do? What if He says, "Well, I want you to be faithful to clean the toilets and take the trash out"? You say, "That's somebody else's job." Then you're going to have to get your heart right. Because the Lord's not going to start you behind the pulpit. Okay? That's what people think. Heard one preacher, it's from a good movie I watched recently called The Jesus Revolution. His name's Greg Laurie. He's in California. He said when he got into ministry, he was expecting to get behind the pulpit and to preach to thousands and people get saved. And you know what the first thing that the guy he was serving under did? Handed him a broom. He said, "Sweep the hallways." And Greg was like, "What? I'm in the ministry to preach." Now God needed to humble him. God may not want you to be behind the pulpit. Pastor Daniel started me off right my first day on the job here. Son, we did everything but change the oil in the church van. They started me off right. Are you willing to do what? Maybe that's why the Lord hasn't showed you what He wants you to do, because you're not yet willing to do it. But if you will humbly submit to Him and do whatever that is He wants you to do, it will make Mount City Baptist Church better. It will make this place better. This service is personal. It's predetermined. I won't read it, but Jeremiah chapter 1 talks about, verses 4 and 5, talks about how He knew him before he was born and ordained him a prophet to the nations. God had a plan for Jeremiah before he was born, and Jeremiah wasn't a rogue. I believe the Lord has a plan. That's what, like we talked about when we preached God's beautiful plan for those with special needs. Every person that is born, I believe, before you're born, God's got a plan for your life. It's not like, "Oh, Tyler's born, now we've got to figure out something for him to do." No, I believe God, His plan for my life was that I stand right here and preach to you and to be the pastor of this place. I don't think I would be fulfilled anywhere else. It's personal. It's predetermined. It's prepared. Now, in our text, I won't read it, but it talks about Bezalel had a very, very good skill set. Imagine all the training and the time he spent doing jobs to develop to where he was. Did you know that the skills and abilities and maybe even the finances that you have at this moment, God has given you and developed to use right now here? Did you know that? God has gifted you in the way He has to use you now. Maybe that's a question. Maybe write down, what am I good at? What do I enjoy doing? Now, I'm not saying necessarily that's where God's going to use you, but what's a great place to start? We see here it's personal, predetermined, prepared, and He doesn't ask us to do anything that He will not enable us to do. He gives us the power to do it. We can have all the ability in the world, but if God doesn't touch it, then it's not going to do anything. So we see His will. And very quickly, we see number three, his way. How do we find that? Verse number two, it says, "See, I have called by name Bezalel." We're going to use his name to know what we need to do to find his will for our lives. The name Bezalel means in the shadow of God. You want to find out what God's will is for your life? Get in his shadow. You know what that means? When you're in somebody's shadow, you're up close enough to where you're up next to them. You want to find God's will for your life? Get close to him. Get close to him. You want to fix your marriage? Get close to him. You want to be a better parent? Get close to him. If I want to be a better pastor, get close to him. Be a better preacher? Get close to him. You want to be a good employee? Get close to him. That is the key. Three aspects of this. First, and we talked about this a moment ago, Romans 12:1 talks about surrendering our bodies, a living sacrifice. We've got to surrender. Like I said earlier, if we're not willing to do whatever it is that God wants us to do, then why should he tell us to do what he wants us to do? But if we'll surrender our bodies, a living sacrifice, then we're in a place that he can use us. And say, "Lord, whatever it is, if that's cleaning the toilets or going to Africa." Everybody locked up on that one. Going to Africa. Are you willing to do it? I promise you that's the only place you're going to have peace, joy, fulfillment, is wherever it is he wants you. Got to surrender. Then there's got to be seeking. Romans 12:2 talks about being not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Changing your mind. What do I mean seeking? I'm not saying, "Lord, send me an airplane," pulling a sign behind it, telling me what it wants me, what you want me to do. People do stuff like that all the time, not specifically like that, but when we've got it right here. This, every question you have, what God wants you to do is in here. Right in this book. So we need to stop. We need to stop asking, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" if we're not seeking what he wants us to do. We need to be seeking in the Word of God. Surrender, seeking, and until he shows you specifics, get to serving. Don't say, "Well, I'm going to sit on the bench, Brother Paul. I'm going to sit on the bench, pop back, and when God tells you..." Well, guess what? You're going to ride the pine pony all the way to glory. You are. Read the Bible. Any person God called to do something was already doing something. You may not know exactly what he wants you to do, but until then, hop in and do something. And as you go, sometimes you think, "Well, that is just like me." Now, this isn't church related, but there for about 30 seconds, I thought, "Miss Priscilla, I wanted to be a substitute teacher." My mom's a teacher, and she was a brilliant teacher for a long time. She works at Central Office now. I thought, "You know what? I might want to be a teacher." So guess what? I substitute taught for 1.5 days and learned very quickly that is not for me. I said, "I'll take him at church, but 8 hours a day, no way. No, 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 no." Get in and do it. And as you serve, he will show you what he wants you to do. Sometimes he may put you right in the slot he has for you, and you just plug on. That's how, what's it say? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from him. Teach them to serve, and as they serve, they'll find God's will for their lives. So many believers are sitting on the bench, missing what God has for them. If they just get in and serve, God would show them. Serve. And when we do that, that's his way. We see the wonderful result. And I won't read those, but you see those passages there. We see first, he will show himself. Chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. They did it the way God told them to. And God showed up in a very special way. That's our desire. But to do it, we got to do what God says. Here's what God says. So serve. While you serve, seek. As you seek and as you serve, he will show you what he has for you, and then you will be able to find God's will for your life. Seek and serve, and he will show himself to you, to this place, and do all the things we talked about. But not only will he show himself, but he will shine on us. Chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. Remember, Moses came down off the mountain. What's it say? His face shined so brightly that they could not look upon him. He had to cover his face. Every person that saw him, he had an impact on. Some people ran from him and didn't want to be around him. That's the way it's going to be. You shine for the Lord, even the right way. Some people are not going to want to be around you. But others, God's going to use you to plant the gospel seed and change their life. what is your part in His work? Have you ever asked that question? If you haven't, I encourage you to do it. Say, God, what do you want me to do? And Lord, until you tell me specifically what you want me to do, I'm going to get in and serve. And Lord, while I'm serving, I'm going to be seeking in your word what you have for me to do. And I can promise you, upon the authority of the word of God and the fact that I've experienced it in my own life, he'll show you what he wants for you to do. And you'll find the reason he created you. You sound like I'm blowing that out of proportions. Absolutely not. You follow that formula, God will show you why he birthed you, physically and spiritually. And then, come what may, as preachers say, you'll be ready to charge hell with a water pistol because you found God's will for your life. God's will is not some broad, well, let's just try our best and hope we hit it. No, God wants to show you specifically what it is, but will you let him show you? Until then, serve. Until then, seek, and he will show you what he wants you to do, I promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for the truths of it. Thank you, Lord, that you have shown me your will for my life. I pray you'd help me to always be asking, Lord, what else would you have me to do? What more would you have me to do, Lord? I pray you would, if nothing else, that you would cause every person that's hearing me tonight to ask the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I pray, Lord, as they do, as they serve, as they seek, that you would show yourself to them. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.